Good morning. You're listening to Arts and More from WMUK, bringing you arts and culture in Southwest Michigan. I'm Robbie Feinberg. On today's show, we're going to explore an issue that's been on the minds of a lot of people in the Kalamazoo arts community. What happens when the media changes and arts coverage from the local newspaper shrinks in just a few short years? About 7 years ago, the Kalamazoo Gazette had at least three art staffers in Kalamazoo alone. Now the Gazette's new owner, MLive, has just a small art staff for the entire state. The issue has been on the mind of Don Desmond, the curator for Western Michigan University's Richmond Center for Visual Arts. He said he first noticed dwindling coverage about 5 years ago.
It started to dwindle. It was harder to get the coverage. I'm not exactly sure the reasons at that point in time. And I knew that this was a problem, and I always felt like I was the only one complaining.
Desmond says he also felt the loss of Roger Green as a longtime statewide art critic. With fewer reviews and fewer reporters to talk about local events, Desmond says word got out quick that Kalamazoo's coverage was lacking. He says that's a big deal in the art world, and he can remember at least one artist who decided not to come to the Richmond Center because they were afraid that no one would cover them.
Probably 3 years ago, there was somebody I was pursuing to do a one-person show here, and had ongoing discussions and research about what might be possible, and put in a significant amount of time, and then the decision was made that it wasn't going to be worth the time that the artist was putting into it, even though we have this great space that we can offer them, and the things that artists have been able to do here have been tremendous. But those artists also need those reviews. That's how they build their professional life. So it's something that reaches out in a lot of different ways, and it causes a lot of different problems.
Head to any of the other major arts organizations in town, and you hear the same worries from galleries, musical groups, and theaters. Many are finding that increased marketing and social media can only get a group so far. Western Michigan University journalism professor Sue Ellen Christian says the problem is institutional and happening across the country.
Arts organizations are dealing with the same thing that news outlets are, which is an aging audience. Overwhelmingly, the people who buy and read a newspaper are older, and that's also true of the audiences in the seats at many concerts and sort of fine arts cultural events. And so just like news outlets, arts organizations are going to have to evolve.
Dan Gustin, the director of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, says Kalamazoo may be feeling it worse than most. He says Kalamazoo is already fighting above its weight class when it comes to how much culture is in this small city. It's an arts legacy that took off more than a century ago, when W.E. Upjohn underwrote organizations like the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts and the Civic Auditorium.
But we are a small town, so if you were a manager, to send an artist here, as opposed to, let's say, to presenting them at the Orchestra Hall in Chicago, you know, it's not quite the same thing. It's a much larger audience. But because we are small, I think the reviews are quite important here to keep the recognition level high.
Between continued layoffs and the announcement of a new, more statewide strategy at MLive, getting that recognition for the arts could get even tougher. Julie Hughland, MLive's regional news editor, sent us a statement saying, quote, MLive has been a leader in arts coverage and will continue to look for the best ways to cover the arts throughout Michigan. Our approach is always evolving, and new forms will take shape in the coming weeks and months. But Kalamazoo's art scene isn't waiting. About 6 months ago, the heads of groups including the Gilmore Festival, Fontana, the KIA, Richmond Center, the Civic Theater, and the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo all began meeting and talking about how to fill the arts news void. The thinking now is this: to create a new organization that would produce an online publication strictly focused on Kalamazoo's art scene. Desmond with the Richmond Center explains.
We're thinking of the possibility of an organization, and I'm not exactly sure who that would be at this point in time, would actually have an arts editor, if that term could change a little bit, but someone who would be in charge of gathering writers who know what they're writing about, to be able to go out and cover the many events. I mean, Kalamazoo has a huge cultural history.
The talks are still largely in the early stages, mostly leaders still thinking in hypotheticals and theoreticals. But Fontana Executive Director David Baldwin says right now they're picturing a website that can serve two purposes. The first, to preview and review local events from all kinds of organizations. And the second, to serve as a kind of online arts hub, giving readers a list of everything arts-related happening in Kalamazoo. And he means everything.
We want to be able to get the word out for all the arts organizations, not just the large organizations that are involved in these conversations at the moment, but ultimately to really expand that to all of the not-for-profit arts organizations. But no, I think between the resources that we all have, you know, we all have our email lists, and although many of them may overlap, there's lots of them that are individual and separate. And when we pool all of our contacts together, I think it can really make an effect. Now, is it the same as the local newspaper? I don't know that we can ever actually replicate that, but it's certainly better than what we have now.
And it's something that arts leaders say is necessary as a way to recognize that art is happening in this city. Kristen Chesick, the executive director of the Kalamazoo Civic Theater, says social media is useful when it comes to getting the message out.
But when it's time to tell folks about why they should go to a particular piece of art, or it's time to talk about how that art maybe engages us as a community, I think that having one independent authority, and independent meaning not the arts organization itself, because let's face it, as a staff member, I get paid to say how great my arts organization is. But if there's somebody else who then is a trusted and respected source in town, I think that goes a long way.
Chesick remembers one specific review in the Kalamazoo Gazette, September 29th, 2001, a rendition of Oklahoma at the Civic Theater.
When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top.
And that was literally a week after 9/11. The state of the nation was such that even here in Kalamazoo, we were thinking, well, geez, how do you celebrate after that? How do you come together in community? How do you do anything but be fixated on this horrible tragedy? And we decided to open. We decided to do the show. And the review came out, and it reminded me why we do theater. It reminded me that this reviewer said this is exactly what we needed right now.
Critic Fred Peppel said Oklahoma is as much the perfect antidote to the dark times we are experiencing as it was when it opened in 1943.
Has it really got a team of snow white horses?
One's like snow, the other's more like milk.
And if that hadn't happened and that person hadn't written about it, then maybe I would have remembered it differently, or that now, us looking back, we wouldn't have completely understood why the Civic did Oklahoma at that moment in time and why it was important.
But even with this need, arts organizations have a lot of questions remaining about an arts publication. How do you fund this new organization with a full-time editor and critics? How do you keep it going year after year? And the other big question, how do you make sure the new publication is fully independent and can do solid, objective journalism with no editorial pressure? There's a lot left to talk about, but Dan Gustin points to other cities as proof they can make it work.
We're modeling our particular Southwest Michigan model on some extremely fine and effective online magazines in Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta. Yeah, they're out there now. This is not a revolutionary idea. In other words, it's working in other communities and working quite well.
There's still a lot left to discuss to turn these hypotheticals into realities, but leaders say that they're aiming to launch the new publication as soon as possible. And that's all for Arts and More this week. I'm Robbie Feinberg. You can hear the show on Fridays and Saturdays on WMUK, and you can find us online at WMUK.org. Thanks for listening.